are. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Father, I pray for those who are here this morning who aren't really sure about those words yet. I pray that today would be a step, a part of that process of bringing them to where they are right now, to where you want them to be. To be able to worship with full heart, with full mind, the great I Am. Father, I think of those in our congregation who are recovering from surgeries, who are facing surgeries, those who are facing difficult situations as school has started and all the stuff that goes with that. God, I just pray you undergird them. I pray they recognize that you are the great I Am, and that you are there in every single moment of every single day, and your presence can fill them with peace even during difficult times. I pray for those that are being impacted as we speak by the storm, by Hurricane Harvey. God, again, may you be revealed in all of that. And even this sort of metaphorical storm that is in our country. God, may we see that the ultimate answer is that you are holy, holy, holy. And that as we turn to you and as we follow you, you enable us to live in community with other people, even those that we disagree with, in a way that brings glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you sit down, can we just sing that again? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Or let's just do this. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Song. What a great oldie and goodie that is. We want to welcome all of you here today. If you are here for the very first time, well, you know what, Heidi, I'm going to put you on the spot. Any news about your step-parents, stepfather?
They're doing well
in the Houston area, so that's why I asked her that. Yeah, Corpus, okay. All right, so, all right, amen. We're glad for that. If you're here for the very first time, wanted to mention that we have a connection card here. If you didn't get a chance to stop at our Welcome Center, we would love for you to fill that out and place it in the offering plate as it gets passed here in a few minutes, or in the black boxes back there. Maybe you want to wait, hang out for a little while, go, I'm not really sure I want to give them my contact information. But we promise that we won't show up unannounced at your door or anything like that. We got lots of interesting things planned for today. So kids, you can head on back to junior worship. And again, many thanks to all the volunteers who do that every week back there, who help and serve and teach, and it's an amazing thing. And it's great to see kids so excited to leave so they don't have to hear my sermon. All right, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So you guys head on back there, and Coy, you're not first today, man. What's up? Okay. All right. We have an exciting thing to do here. We're going to formally, here as a congregation, license Rich Miller into the ministry here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, into the Church of the Brethren. So I'm going to invite our district executive, Bill. Bill Waugh is here with his wife. I cannot remember.
Dawn,
that's right. I wanted to say Gloria, and I knew that wasn't right, you know. And yeah, it's not that you put Facebook posts about Gloria or something like that. Don't get me wrong. Dawn, okay, great. Well, Dawn, we're glad that you're here. And Bill matches our chairs today. Isn't that amazing? That was really good for you to do that, Bill. I love Bill. Bill has been our district executive for...
About 3 years.
3 years, and he does a fantastic job, and it is a difficult job. There's lots of travel and lots of things going on, and if you enjoy racing, if you get a chance to bend Bill's ear a little bit after, not like marathon racing, but, you know, the dragsters and all kinds of stuff, Bill's a big aficionado of racing, so it'll be a way for you to connect with Bill. So I'm going to shut up and turn it over to you. Go ahead.
All right. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you. A lot of times when a district executive comes to a congregation, a lot, there's problems. And I've been here a lot. and the good news is it's not ever been for a problem yet. So thank you and please keep up your record. It's just a pleasure to come. These moments are what a DE really lives for, seeing people saying yes to the call of Christ in the church. At our meeting Thursday night, our district ministry commission, the person who was leading devotions, in his prayer, said these words, "God, I am so thankful I can be part of calling people into the ministry." And at that moment, it kind of, for all of us, it was like, yes, this is why we're here, to call people into ministry and to support them after they've been called, to place them in congregations, to pray for our pastors, and to support them in any way we can. So again, thank you for allowing me to be here. Rich, I'm going to invite you to come up. We really enjoyed interviewing Rich. His story, as many of you probably know, is just a fascinating story of God's call in his life and saying yes and walking away and saying yes and doing the work, the hard work it is to follow Christ. So we're excited as a ministry commission for you and for the congregation as his gifts are used here and wherever God calls you to go. So Rich, thank you for saying yes to the call of Christ. Get to see your better side. Well, Jesus came preaching the gospel. God continues to call men and women to carry on that ministry of preaching the gospel. The Buffalo Valley congregation, in fulfillment of the sacred trust given by God, has seen fit to call Rich to be licensed to the set-apart ministry. This congregation and the Ministry Commission of the Southern Pennsylvania District have recommended that Rich be given a license to preach the gospel. Brother Rich, do you renew your baptismal vows, reaffirming your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and your commitment to serve as his disciple? If so, answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you affirm your devotion to the Church of Jesus Christ, and specifically the Church of the Brethren, which calls you to this ministry? And do you promise to live in harmony with its principles, ordinances, and doctrines, being at all times faithful to its disciplines and government? If so, answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Will you seek to live in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and so witness to Christ in word and life, that the church may be increasingly, become the fellowship of peace and redemption in this world? If so, answer, yes, I will.
Yes, I will.
Will you seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the church so far as your future relationship to the ministry is concerned? If so, answer, yes, I will.
Yes, I will.
Brother Rich, you're hereby committing yourself to a period of service in preaching the gospel and exploring what it means to be in the set-apart ministry. As a licensed minister, you're in the process of preparation for ordination, as established by the Church of the Brethren through annual conference. With this license, you may preach and teach, giving yourself and the church time and opportunity to determine whether or not you are led to seek ordination in the set-apart ministry. As you faithfully pursue the purposes affirmed here today, you'll become more certain of God's will for your life. Therefore, with your statement of purpose, your consecration to the will of God, the Southern Pennsylvania District of the Church of the Brethren grants you authority to preach the gospel. I charge you to be faithful in study and full preparation for the work of ministry, to be consistent in prayer, to be diligent in striving to know and do God's will, and to do the work of a good minister of Jesus Christ through courage, loyalty, faith, and devotion. I'm going to invite you to kneel, if you will, for prayer, and invite...
Eric's going to come on up, and all the members of our MCT, our leadership team, if you guys could just come on up. I know this is not something you were expecting, but just come on up and join in laying hands on Rich, and you're going to pray.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're just going to lay hands on him. And
this is a great symbol that we are not in ministry alone, that it's a team. And I invite you to realize that you are part of his support as well. Let us join together in prayer. Eternal God, we come acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit in all that you have created. You've given to all your people gifts for ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. We join now as congregation and district and friends to ask you to bless Rich, whom we have licensed the set-apart ministry in your name. God of knowledge, we pray that for Rich this will be a time of learning. God of understanding, we pray that this will be a time of discernment. God of trust and love, we pray that this will be a time of testing. Enable Rich to mature in faith, even though there'll be times of doubt and failure. Bless his ministry, even when mistakes happen. Inspire his vision, even when there are unpleasant discoveries. Help us all to be a supportive, prayerful, and encouraging community for service for Rich. Let your spirit move. Let Christ be lifted up. And let your name be praised. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Congratulations, my brother. God's love be with you.
Thank you.
Good job, Jesus.
All right. It's exciting to welcome Rich into this licensed ministry phase of his training and of his calling. And Rich will be not a part of the pastoral staff, but working with the pastoral staff. And you're probably going to see him a little bit more visibly from time to time, but also he'll be working greatly behind the scenes as God continues and as he continues the training process and things. I know he's very excited about the classes and whatnot that he is taking. We're going to receive our offering now, so if the ushers would get ready to do that, if you'll put my offering thought up there. I was thinking about this passage of Scripture this week. This is one of my favorite passages. I always tend to go back to this, always kind of think about this Scripture as when I think about offering and when I think about the idea of sacrifice. And so we're in the second week of this sermon series called In the Heat of the Moment. And Paul was a guy who faced a lot of heat of the moment moments. And I think this kind of attitude, these words, they really express what we feel, it puts us in a great position to get through these heat of the moment moments. So can you read this with me? Then Nikki's going to play as we receive our offering this morning. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Let's let those words filter as we receive our offering this morning. All right, thank you, Nikki, very, very much. We have one more thing to do before the sermon this morning. Those of you that are here that are new members, if you'll come on up forward here, we want to officially recognize you, those of you that are in this service. I know Sharon's back there. Serena's over here. We have a couple in the other service. We did most of the folks were here a couple of weeks ago, but we want to officially recognize them also so that you can put names to faces. Gabe, if you'll put my new member Val thing up there, I'd appreciate it. Sharon, next slide. All right, so these are all of the different people. Hi, Serena. These are all of the different folks that, stand right over here, that either were the top list is the number that were baptized back in July at the pond, and then the bottom number or the bottom group are folks who have previously been baptized but have joined the church by statement of faith or transfer of letter. And so it's a great day when we get to add people to the membership of the body of the Church of the Brethren. And here the body of Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. So guys, what I'm gonna, so this is Serena. Say hi, Serena. Austin, Walter, and Sharon. Noggle or Nogle? I can never. Noggle. All right. So we're going to go through these vows, and if this agrees with what you think, then you'll say either I do or I will. Friends in Christ, you have previously made confession of your faith and have been members of his church or just recently baptized, and we rejoice in your decision to become members here at Buffalo Valley in full covenant relationship with the believers who worship and serve God in this place. Do you now reaffirm your faith in and loyalty to Christ, our Lord, and his gospel? If so, say, I do. As you unite with this church, will you worship, serve, and share in its program, supporting it by your earnest prayers, regular attendance, loyal service, and faithful stewardship as God gives you strength? If so, say, with God's help, I will. Do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joy and pain? If so, say, I do. All right. She'll put the words up there on the screen. Gabe, this is what we say to them. So if you will join me as we say these words to them this morning. We welcome you with joy and affection into this household of faith. We pledge to you our help, our prayers, our concern, that we may all increase in the knowledge and love of God. We trust God for strength to follow with you in Christ's way, keeping together the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. All right, guys, thank you very much for coming up and for joining Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. All right, now it's sermon time. Now it's sermon time. And probably a little shorter sermon time than normal so that we don't keep you here forever. Though, I noticed that clock only says that it is 8:23. So I got an extra 5 minutes. So when you're in the building, we run by the building time, right? Doesn't that make sense? Right, yeah, okay. All right, so we run by the building time. All right, now we'll go through this pretty quickly today. Part two of In the Heat of the Moment. Oh, thing to do first. I received some excellent text messages this past week about the sermon last Sunday. And so if you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to do that. There's my number. The number's in the bulletin. Send emails. That kind of stuff just makes me feel really good to interact with you. And we had a great dialogue with somebody about some of the questions that came up after last week's sermon. So what we're talking about here is, what do you do when the heat is turned up in your life? What do you do when situations, circumstances, people, commands, things that you read in the scripture or things that you think God is telling you to do, what do you do when those come into your life and they're difficult and they're troubling and you're not exactly sure what to do? And so last week, just as a bit of review, we looked at the life of Abraham and we tried to talk about this question. What happens when God tells you to do something and you're not sure you can do it or that you should do it? And the example we used was God telling Abraham to offer his son Isaac. And we walked through that a little bit and some great questions came out of that. And one of the things, just a couple things that I tried to share with you was just to trust God, trust the promises of God. I think Abraham trusted the promise that God had given him. And then probably the thing that is most applicable to us is simply take the next step without worrying or being concerned about the final destination. Right? When God tells you what to do or something to do, or we read something in the scripture and we talked about the ideas of forgiveness and giving and serving and reconciliation, so many times when we sense that God wants us to do something, we go to the 10-year plan, right? We go out there and we say, yeah, but if I do that 10 years from now, who knows what's going to happen, or what's going to happen next month when I do that, or what's the reaction going to be when we do that? And we talk ourselves out of doing what we're supposed to do because we fear what's going to happen way out there in the future. And I think with God, what God wants us to do, what Abraham did, is just simply take the next step, do the next thing that's in front of us, and let God unfold the future the way God does. And the last slide last week was, as you take that next step with God, you will not be disappointed in the destination that he brings you to. So if you missed that last week, I'm not sure, I think there are probably CDs out there, but certainly there's stuff available online. And so we're going to talk about something different today. We're going to talk about this idea of persecution. Just so you know, and I think you all know this, that some face persecution for following their beliefs or following what God has commanded them to do. Now, in our cultural context, you're not going to worry about losing your life. You're not really worried about losing your health for your faith in Jesus. But there are many people, obviously, and I always like us to keep these folks in mind, many people around the world who could never gather in a place like this without fear of loss of life or loss of job or being harmed or being arrested. And so people around the world face that kind of situation and circumstance. And how do they navigate that? That's a heat of the moment moment. And I think in our culture, and I think that it's going to get, the heat's getting turned up, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to live out a biblical way of a worldview of thinking, and there's a lot of pushback against that. And again, I don't mean to equate that in any way, shape, or form, what it looks like to be arrested or lose your job. But, I mean, think about some examples where you might face persecution. You might be talking about, the Bible says that we should do this, and somebody goes, oh, come on, the Bible says? Didn't you leave that by in Sunday school 35 years ago? That's a little bit of kind of like persecution. What are you going to do? That's a heat of the moment moment. Your blood pressure rises a little bit. Your face gets a little bit flushed. What do you do? Do you say, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, I kind of gave all that stuff up back in fifth grade. Or do you actually say, well, no, really, this is what it says, and this is what I believe, and this is how I live my life. Sometimes we do face persecution or face job loss. I knew a guy named John back in Virginia many, many years ago who went through a couple of different automobile repair jobs because he would not forge, he would not say that they did warranty work that they didn't do. And when they asked him, well, why didn't you do that? He goes, because I can't do that. My God doesn't want me to lie. And they said, well, if you don't want to lie, then you can't work here. And so he lost his job two times in a row, two different places. Not to cast any disparaging thoughts on automobile repair places, but in that particular case, that was his job. So sometimes we face this persecution for following beliefs or following what God has commanded us to do. And then the question is, what do you do when the temperature rises around your God-given beliefs? What do you do? How do you respond to that? What do you do? Do you back down? Do you acquiesce? Do you compromise? Or are you willing to stand firm? Not in an arrogant way, not in a negative, nasty way, but what do you do with that? And so today is kind of the example. We're gonna look at three men who faced a very fiery heat of the moment moment. Now we do not have actual pictures of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the VeggieTale rendition says that they look a little bit like this. Okay? And highly recommend the VeggieTale rendition of this particular story, Rakshak and Benny. Highly recommend that you get that video and do it. It's very close. It does have vegetables and chocolate in it, which the Bible does not speak specifically of. The Bible speaks of people and statues of gold. But the overall idea of this particular video is really, 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 really good. So let me just set this. This comes from the book of Daniel, specifically Daniel chapter 3 here. So we have these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're Jews, and they were taken captive from Israel into the nation of Babylon by the king, who, remember, God, we talked about this last time, God delivered his people into this judgment, into oppression, into slavery. But they were kind of selected as sort of like an officer training program. I mean, they had some good things, some good qualities about them, so they actually are in this thing. We read about them first in Daniel chapter 1, and we see them here, they're officials in the kingdom. And King Nebuchadnezzar decides, hey, you know what, I'm going to make this really big statue, this really big idol. And when the music plays, everybody needs to bow down and worship the idol when the music plays. So he's king, he can do whatever he wants. So he does that, but that's a problem for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they know that their God is the only true God, and they're not to worship any other God but him. So when the music plays and everybody bows down to the giant statue, they don't do it. They don't do it. Now, not to mention the fact that it would be really difficult for a tomato to bow down. But we're going to skip that sort of thought, just kind of trust, leave that to God. But they don't bow down. And so others report that to the king, and they're brought before the king. And in Daniel chapter 3, we're going to pick it up here in verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, that's the name of the king, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Or if you're thinking about the video, it's more like, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach? No, whatever. Okay, I won't do it. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear, so he gives them another chance. Now look, guys, okay, now look. Now, if you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down to worship the image which I have made, good, right? I'm going to give you a pass. I'm going to give you that first time. Maybe you didn't hear it. Maybe your hearing aid wasn't on. I'm not sure what the deal was, but we're going to be good. We're going to be good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? How many of you have seen it? Just give me a show. What's wrong with the rest of you people? Come on. You got to watch that video. It's great. We probably have it in our library. So check it out before you leave. You should leave today. If you don't, I think I still have it at home. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? So what are they going to do? This is a heat of the moment moment, right? So now they're brought before the king. There's no sort of hiding in the crowd. They're brought right before the king. The king says, all right, here, do this and everything's going to be good. But if you don't, you're going to burn in the furnace. I think this is a classic heat of the moment moment. They face heat. They face fire. They face death if they do not do what the king commands them to do. However, it is in contradiction with what their God commands them to do. Well, we don't have to wait long. Next slide. The three men respond to the heat of the moment with a hot take of their own. Sorry, couldn't resist that one. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." I get chills when I read this. Because I am so impressed by their ability to face this heat of the moment. King, our God can deliver us if he wants to, but if he doesn't, we're not going to serve your gods. It doesn't matter. Burn, our God is God. Not burn, we're good. Now, if you know the rest of the story, you know that Nebuchadnezzar puts them into the furnace. And it's just Reader's Digest version. They are not burned. They come out. They even could sit in the non-smoking section because the Bible says that not even their clothes were smelled of any smoke. Nebuchadnezzar praises the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and gives them even more influence in his kingdom. So it works out great for them. But I want to remind us all, the next slide, it doesn't always work this way. Right? It doesn't always work this way. All the disciples of Jesus were either martyred or exiled for their faith. Right? All of them were killed except for John, who was exiled. Church history is full of people who were burned at the stake. Church history is full of people who suffered great persecution and were not supernaturally delivered by God in that case. Now, maybe there are times when they were supernaturally delivered. But most of the time, it doesn't work out that way. Most of the time, God walks with you through the persecution. If you go to school this week and you happen to be trying to live for Christ and somehow that comes up and there's conversation and somebody, some girl in your class mocks you, God is probably not going to cause her to have a bad hair day the next day, right? He's not going to cause that kid in the classroom to forget all the formulas for the math test simply because he laughed at you because you said you followed Jesus. Rather, you're going to have to endure that. And are you going to be able to endure that? How are you going to stand up to the heat in the heat of the moment times in your life? What is it going to look like? Let's look again at what they actually say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We're not going to worry about it. It's okay. If that is the case," in other words, if we burn, "our God whom we serve," you've put us in the fire, excuse me, "our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." So they have this faith. You know what? Our God can do this. But, if not, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. This is the response to the heat of the moments that we face because of persecution. Has anything happened in your life recently? Are you facing anything now where you're tempted to just sort of to back down, to not bother to say it? Again, not looking for a fight, but when the heat is turned up, do you stand firm for what you believe and for the God that you serve? This next sentence, I think, helps us to know whether that's going to happen and helps us to put in place ways to make it happen. Ask yourself this question: am I committed to believing in who God is, regardless of how things are? Same three letters, H-O-W, W-H-O. Just reorganized. Means all the difference in the world. Am I committed to believing in who God is, regardless of how things are? I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were committed to believing in the God that they served, regardless of the circumstances that they faced in their life. Is that you? Is that you? There is a saying out there that says that when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what's inside comes out. That's kind of what we face in heat of the moment moments. There are moments that squeeze us. There are moments that reveal what's really on the inside. What is on the inside as it relates to your understanding of God and who he is? And will that equip you to be able to stand firm when you are being persecuted, when you are being ridiculed, when you are being challenged for the faith that you have, for the beliefs that you have. Another way of thinking about this is that God's character is more important than our circumstances. This is so incredibly important. It's so easy for us to celebrate God's character when things are good, right? You know, got the job, God is good. Beautiful weather, God is good. But we just don't tend to think, Dad has cancer, God is good. Got laid off, God is good. Why do we tend not to go there? Why do we tend not to think about that? Why do we not read that typically on social media? Because God's character is not related to our circumstances. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego face being thrown into the fiery furnace, not because they led an insurrection against the king, not because they did something wrong outside of simply following their God-given understanding of who they should worship. If you looked at it, you'd look at the circumstances and you'd say, well, wait a minute. God, there can't be a God in this. I mean, they're about to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Where's God in that? But God is still there. Are you committed to who God is, regardless of how things are going on in your life? If you are not, you will not be able to stand up to those heat of the moment moments in your life. You just won't. You'll cave. So how does that all happen? Well, let's go look at another example. Paul, New Testament, a veteran of the heat of the moment moments, makes a similar statement in his letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy, we think, is Paul's last letter to Timothy. It appears from 2 Timothy that Paul realizes that he's about to die. He's going to be killed for his faith. And he writes this in chapter 1, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, am convinced that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Regardless of the circumstances, yep, Timothy, I'm sitting here in jail. I'm rotting away in jail, not for anything that I've done wrong, but because these are the circumstances of life that God has placed in my life, that God has allowed in my life, but I know whom I have believed. King, the God whom we serve is able. Who is this God that you serve and that I serve? Do you know him? Do you believe in him? Do you trust him because of who he is, not because of what's going on in your life around you? The commitment of these three men and Paul is forged by their experience. We go back to Daniel chapter 1. We know that these men were involved with Daniel, where the king wanted to offer them the king's delicacies and the king's food, and they refused to do it. They're, no, we're not going to do that. These are things that God does not want us to do. And it turns out that they just do the vegetables and they look better than the rest of the people. And it works out really great. They've worked with God. They've seen God's character evident in their lives. Paul, time and time again, has seen God come through in his life and has been there for him. This is important for us to do the same thing. It's important for us to be involved and engaged in God's activity so that when things happen, we can look back and say, yes, but God was here then, and God did this then, and God was here last month, and God was there 5 years ago. Those are important things. But this is so, it's the trenches. This type of commitment comes from being in the trenches with God. The next slide is where I really wanted to get to. This type of commitment is best formed and best functions in community. Community. So, you know, you talk about this a lot. I know, because I don't know what else to say. God desires you to be in community with other believers and other followers of Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a community. They were there together. Paul constantly in community with other people, traveling with other missionaries to take the gospel to other places, establishing a little group of believers, a little group of followers that he ministered to and that he stayed within. It doesn't work any other way. I need community. I need to be engaged with people. And quite honestly, being here for an hour a week is not community. It's not going to do it for you. A desire for you to engage Sunday school, small groups. It doesn't even have to be here. It can be someplace else. That's fine. But those experiences, feeding off of other people's experiences, feeding off of other people's history, feeding off of their knowledge of who God is, and to encourage us to believe in who we believe God is and to hold on to that, is absolutely imperative if you want to be able to make it through the heat of the moment. Lone Ranger had Tonto. You have to have someone with you. The Avengers don't work alone. It's not the Avenger. It's the Avengers. Now, I think Hulk could pretty much take care of anything that he needed to take care of singularly by himself. But we add in all the others as well. Because most of us are not Hulks. Come on. The type of commitment is best form and best function in community. How is this happening in your life right now? How are you sharpening and increasing and doubling down on your understanding of who God is? How is that happening for you? I implore you to have it happen in community. And if you're someone who thinks, you know what, I've got this all down, I understand it, I'm good, then we desperately need you to be a leader in community. Because most of us don't have it all down. Couple of just questions. Are you ready to not be burned in your next heat of the moment? What's going to be different? Kids, when you're at school and people start talking to you about you know, how can you believe that Jesus is really the way to heaven? How can you, I mean, what about Buddhism and Hinduism? What are you going to do? Okay, well, maybe you're right. Yeah. Are you going to do that? Or are you going to be able to stand and say, you know, I respect what you might think, but hey, here's what I believe. This is what God's word says to me, and this is what I understand. How are you going to be ready to do that? I believe it's by understanding who God is, by drilling down on who he is, by believing in his character, getting to know him, trusting in him, regardless of the circumstances, so that when the heat is turned up, you will be able to follow through. Last slide. What is your commitment to believing who God is, regardless of how things are? Men and women, our world, evangelical Christian world, is full of people who blow in the wind based on circumstances. We're full of people who twist and turn with God based on the way the wind blows. I don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did that. And God doesn't want you to do that either. You say, well, I don't understand, or I doubt about this. I don't. Then get the answers. There's nothing wrong with doubt. As long as it's just not prolonged. There's not all that much information about who God is. It's revealed to us in the scripture. Study it. Settle it. Sure, I'm uncertain a lot of times about why God is doing something in my life, but never uncertain about who he is. Work on it. Read, study, ask questions, get in community. Settle it. Because when you settle who God is, you are best equipped to function regardless of how the circumstances come about. Would you please join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for the word of God that you've given to us. The examples of people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Paul, and Stephen, and so many others, and so many examples through church history of people who have not sought out confrontation for the sake of confrontation, but when their beliefs have been challenged, they were willing to trust you, to follow you. To say like Paul, I know whom I have believed. And because of that, I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed. Father, I pray that we here at Buffalo Valley can say that. Not in an arrogant way, assuming that we understand everything about God and, you know, there's no question and there's no, we got it all. No, not like that. But that God is love, and that God is just, and that God is omnipotent, that God is sovereign, that Jesus is Savior and Lord. And then when we know who we have believed, we are really equipped to face heat of the moment moments, especially those that relate to persecution. Father, would you move those in our group, in our midst this morning, who have questions, who don't understand, who wonder how to get involved in community, not to leave today without asking, without deciding, without connecting. Because these heat of the moment moments are going to continue. And we want to burn brightly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand as we sing our closing songs this morning?